Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL. 92.5 FM, brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Woo-hoo! Yeah!
Hump Day!
Yeah!
Hump Day!
Hump Day!
Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, in the house.
Yeah, Dustin and Country also joining us in the studio tonight. We got a good fun show for you guys tonight. We're going to talk a little bit of PLO strategy for those of you that might not be familiar with that acronym. That would be Pot Limit Omaha. So why is this topic coming up? And, you know, I feel like not a whole lot of people in Jacksonville play it. But if you're paying attention to
We actually have a lot of PLO action lately.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, then maybe it's the perfect time. But Phil Galfond, Chance Cornuth, are head-to-head right now for the Galfond Challenge. And, you know, he has set up, Phil Galfond has set up challenges with something like I don't know, like 10 to 12, let's call it, somewhere around a dozen different people that he's going to play for X amount of dollars. And, you know, the terms and the stipulations are different depending on who the player is. Will depend on how many hands they play over the course of time and, of course, how much they're actually playing for. So he has all of this set up, and he and Chance Cornuth are playing right now, and there was kind of a pivotal hand that shifted things. They started, I think they played their first hand in, like, the end of September. So they've been playing now for a couple weeks. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and I feel like that's driving a little bit of the PLO action, and I don't know if that's helping you guys and maybe driving some interest in the card room, right? Because people are watching it. They're seeing
maybe it
live
is, yeah.
streamed. And people are, you know, there's some interest. So I thought we could talk about that, of course.
It is very interesting, the whole Galfond Challenge. And he's playing multiple people at the same time. You know, so he did, he has a challenge going on with Bill Perkins, although they haven't played in a while. So he's in the middle of a couple different ones.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah. So some of them they've started. Some of them I didn't even realize that they started actually until you mentioned
I didn't.
I didn't realize that they had kicked off already. But they're all a little different, and it's fun to kind of follow along. And Chance has been doing a really great job about blogging, and you can find out what's going on either by following his blog, and of course, every poker news outlet is obviously covering the story as they continue to play as well. So we're going to talk about that. But there's some other fun things that have happened. How about this? Okay, a gambler turns a dollar into $680,000 with a 20-leg golf parlay.
No, come on.
Okay,
what?
Can we talk about
Serious?
How ridiculous that is? Yes, this person bets a single dollar last weekend and earns almost $680,000. This is according to an Australian online sports book. So someone drilled a 20-leg golf parlay during the BMW PGA Championship. This is where they win the money, right? So they pick the correct winners of 20 head-to-head pairings. So that means, like, even though all of the golfers play, like, within the field, right? They're like, they choose 20 people, and they're like, out of these two, who's going to win? Out of these two, who's going to win? And he picks the top. He picks 20 of them, and he picks them all. So, and only five of the matches, only five, this is what I think is really incredible, were decided by one stroke.
Wow.
That's crazy to me.
That is insane. And I'm sure he didn't pick all the, he didn't just go down and pick all the favorites and bet a dollar. He probably said, oh, I'll take this guy, that guy, the guy, you know, this guy's a little bit of a favorite, this guy's a little bit of a dog, whatever.
I don't know. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, who cares? Who cares how he got there?
I mean,
who cares?
I don't even know how he got, like, I would, like, has that ever
Close your
even
eyes
happened? And... Like, has that ever happened in the history of...
I mean, you I know, mean, they
that,
have...
like, what are the odds of that happening? Somebody pull that up. Tell me what the odds are of hitting a 20-leg golf
parlay. A 20-leg parlay? I'll find
I mean,
the odds.
I mean, it's got to be.
Where's...
just insane.
Where's Simajax? Where is he?
Oh, Simajax. Come
where's
on.
Where's Simajax?
Yeah,
give,
can,
us 20,
Simajax
20,
give us
the 20-leg parlay odds.
Yeah, absolutely. But so that's crazy.
Or GT. Where's GT? GT could figure that out. We'll get somebody on Twitter to figure that out for us, or else I'll have to do it myself.
Yeah, so as we're talking about, you know, winning lots of money, betting small amounts, and your ROI being gigantic, did you see that Germany is cracking down? It looks like they're booting out pretty much, or not booting out, I should say, chasing out pretty much every high-level online poker player that's from Germany and all sites because they're tightening the restrictions. They are the amount of taxes that they're charging people and their regulations. They've implemented this new thing called Know Your Customer.
Yeah, that's not a. It's not really a new thing.
But they're it's not.
It's a new thing in the online
significantly
world.
Right,
it's not a new thing in the compliance world.
Correct. So, but what ends up happening is now they're saying, in order for you to know your customer, they're asking for all of these additional verification, all this additional information. But they're also, in turn, not allowing players to choose the game or the seat that they want to sit in.
You know, I think...
Which I don't understand that.
So here's why, right? We talked about this before where all the people are... what did they call it? There was a term where they were just basically cherry-picking and only playing against losing players, right?
Right.
So...
Sorry,
I get
bum hunting, right?
Yeah, right, bum hunting. So I get an alert every time Dustin sits down.
Right.
Because
I'm a bum.
Because he's a bum. And every time he sits down, I jump in that game. And then when Dustin leaves, everybody just sits out because the bum has left the building. So what people do is they cruise around cherry-picking games with their softwares and their algorithms and whatever. They look for games that suit their needs. You know, a lot of action, a little action, whatever. So what they're doing is which I kind of like. You want to play 5-10 no limit hold'em? You just put your name on the 5-10 no limit hold'em list and take a seat where they put you at any table. So you can't bum hunt and table jump and jump around cherry picking games.
Well, I understand that, but there still has to – you have to have some freedom, right? Like, I mean –
Yeah, I agree with Allie. Like, game selection is such a big part.
I mean,
game selection is a huge part of poker.
Right, and you're effectively taking that away.
You are, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe
I mean,
that's bad.
Like I get that bum hunting, like, you don't want to allow that, but you also don't want to put somebody in a situation, like, if there's 100 2-5 games online, and I'm stuck in one game that either – the action is terrible.
Right.
I can't beat the game. There's no money. Like, whatever the case.
Yeah, there's too much action, too little action, whatever.
So many variables.
I guess you should be able to have.
Which make the game not good. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's too easy to beat or too difficult to beat. There's a lot of factors. So I feel like taking that away kind of loses the.
X amount of table changes or something like that.
Well, I think they're on the right track. I like what they're trying to do. They just took it to the extreme and it's.
They went too far there.
Yeah, they went too far. It's going to create. You know, that's bad for the whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't understand how that'll pan out. But here's the other piece. When we've looked historically in the last couple of years at poker, like major events, a lot of the leading players have been German. So what is that going to do for their poker economy there? It effectively, like, they're basically saying, like, if you are a high limit poker player and you live in Germany, like, you're just plan. You need to move now.
Yeah,
plan to move. Pack
move
your stuff.
England,
it's time
like
to go someplace else. Right. Most of them have been chased off. But what is that going to do? Does it just mean that we won't be seeing all these incredible German players coming up through the ranks as much?
You know, that's
are they
a good
all just
question.
Gonna
but
leave
you know, they,
and we're
they,
not going to. You know, I
those
don't know.
German guys basically created these. Labs and these groups, right?
Where they're unbelievable.
Get
yeah.
together and hammer out odds and you know GTO strategies and charts and memorize perfect GTO play, which is how you should play online poker, right? Not necessarily live poker, but more so online poker. And they became excellent players. And then they traveled to live poker, and they're so good that they were able to adapt. So there's a lot of very good German poker players.
Yeah, it's just, it'll be interesting to kind of see if that shifts and changes now based on the way that the government is locking down their restrictions.
Maybe it will.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see how that kind of unfolds. So you remember Sam Grizzle. This is probably going to be... Not probably, definitely before Dustin's time. But Sam Grizzle passed away this past weekend?
In the last couple of days.
Yeah, the last couple of days of like a brain aneurysm or something.
R.I.P. Grizzle.
Yeah, R.I.P. Grizzle. Now, Grizzle's one of those guys in poker that was known as being just an absolutely atrocious, vile man at the table. Like, he was brutal.
He was a
difficult
one.
And he's notoriously known for fighting with Phil Hellmuth. So imagine putting somebody like Phil Hellmuth together with somebody who's equally as bad as him, only three times more vulgar, and put them together in the same room and let them duke it out. I don't think that the Poker Go studio is big enough to actually facilitate that.
I don't think so. He was a difficult person to handle at a poker table for some people.
He was, but you know, people are coming and out and telling stories.
Other people liked him just because he was a storyteller and he was kind of a character.
Sure.
And he was funny.
Sure.
He would make fun of people and crack jokes about them all the time. Most of the time, they weren't over the line and out of line. But
And I think off of the table, he was very different, which is kind of interesting because it was part of his persona at the right. Like, okay, we talk about like Mike Matisau, the mouth.
Right.
Right. Does he talk to people like that off the felt? If you don't know Mike, no, he doesn't. I mean, he's not like that off the felt. I mean, he has some similar characteristics, but it's very,
he still never shuts up.
Well, right,
so
but
he's
it's
still
different.
Mike the mouth. Even
he's
off
still
the
Mike
table.
The mouth, but he's it's just different the way that he handles himself, and I think it's part of what his shtick is, right?
Sure.
And I think that Sam Grizzle was the same kind of guy, but off the felt, he was a good man, and so R.I.P. So I just wanted to give him fair send off since he has been a man in the community for many, many eons, and we've known him for I feel like as long as time can go back. And then the last final thing that I feel like is crazy. World Series of Poker has just officially canceled their Aruba tour.
Really?
Well, the
when was
I think
it supposed
this,
to
November,
happen?
November 12th through the 22nd.
And they just now canceled
they
it?
They just canceled it. And that's
the
why.
Needle there, huh?
I mean, wait until the last time. Yeah. We can do it. We can't do it.
Can't do it.
Right. That's why I feel like I was like, wow. I mean, they did all of this stuff. They're prepared. And then right to the last second, bam, here we go.
That's not the kind of trip that somebody waits till the last minute to book, you know? Like,
yeah, I think
everyone's already locked up, ready to go.
Yeah, they could have canceled that 2 months ago without worrying about
without
it.
Without question. Yeah. Or definitely, you know, more than just 4 or 5 days ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So right. Definitely could have been done much sooner. At any rate, all right, well, we got a good show for you guys. Don't forget, we got that 1010XL main event that is happening next Wednesday. We'll be doing our show live from Best Bet Jacksonville, as will Frangie and Lauren and Hayes and crew. They'll be out there joining us, having some sushi, playing some poker, talking some football, talking some sports, talking about anything and everything that's going on. So you can join us out there. Plus, we got a 1010XL main event seat to give away later during the show. We're going to talk some PLO when we come back. We're going to talk about the Phil Galfond and the Chance Cornuth Challenge. Talk about a hand. Now, I'm not a big PLO player. I know the boss man likes PLO. We're going to see where Dustin stands with that, but we're going to get your information. Take your calls when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin and Country in the studio tonight. All right, so as we're coming back here, there's one thing that I forgot to tell you all. I need to just take a minute and do a little brag. Well, first of all, I need to give a little shout out. No, brag first. Shout out second. So, I got to experience my first time in a casino, an actual casino, since the pandemic. So, we were in Boston this weekend.
Boston
this past weekend. Took the kids looking at some colleges for the older one, and decided we were going to head out to Encore because. Why wouldn't you, right? Haven't been out there. Might as well go check it out. A little bit of downtime in the trip. So we head out. And I'll be honest with you, it was super eerie and strange being in a casino that's like half functioning. So there's no poker tables. They've taken all the poker tables out. None of the bars are open at any point. So if you want to get a drink, you have to be seated someplace. Which also makes it problematic because all of the table games are only played three-handed.
Oh, no.
So they have dividers. Yeah. And so they were cutting the table in thirds, right? So the center portion is the largest piece. And I think they had like maybe three betting spots even inside the plexiglass that they had cut up on the table. And they would not let people that were together play together, right? Like, sure. You couldn't be like, okay, like Jesse and I are there together. Oh, can we sit and play? Nope, you cannot.
You have to be on either side of the dividers.
Yeah, no, I could stand behind him and watch, but I couldn't sit next to him, which seems pretty silly. I mean, I guess I get it because then people could come up and just start saying they're together, right, and you have that issue.
Sure.
But I was really surprised that they were only playing three-handed. I was super surprised that no bars were open. Most of the restaurants were closed. What else was weird? Like, I feel like it was just kind of...
It was just...
There was no dice. None of the dice pits were open.
No, the craft tables were all shut down, and they took out the poker tables.
Open.
And they had these weird single player. It looked like little desks.
They're like little kiosks.
Like everybody was at their own desk in an old school classroom or something. But they were all kind of playing the same game. So they were like, hey, nice hand, kind of high-fiving each other from across the room. But it just wasn't right. I didn't like it.
It seemed a little strange. So we did what any smart gambler would do. We sat down at a video poker machine, stuck in $100, won $2,000, and left. I mean, that's what you do.
That's what you do.
Easy money.
That's what every good gambler does. So that's exactly what happened.
That's what the good gamblers do.
So it was a fun trip. Fourth pull, four aces with a kicker. Pink.
So you can't sit at the bar and play video poker?
You can. There's no bar. There's nothing in the
bar.
It's
super weird.
It's just empty.
And you can't sit at the bar and play video poker and get a drink?
No.
Well,
there's
no
bar. But
the cocktail waitress
around.
Comes by.
Yeah.
And then she says, I have these extra things on my tray if you want one. We're like, yeah, sure, I'll take that while you're going to get whatever I ordered.
How much for the tray?
And right. Well, it was free. Drinks were free.
Drop them all right here.
But
if any more extras,
no.
Just keep
she says I can only serve you one drink every 20 minutes.
Oh no!
It was a disaster.
Yeah.
So you were lucky if you could get a drink. Although I will say, like, getting one every 20 minutes isn't a problem because it was difficult to find a cocktail waitress. So you were lucky to get one once an hour.
Right. It's not like you're getting shut down. Like, she's like, oh, it's only been 18 minutes. You got to
catch
me
next
round. Yeah,
it's literally like.
You're just like, every time you see her, you're like, give me a
drink.
Pretty
much, yeah.
Yeah, you pretty
much
have to.
See her about every 30 minutes. So.
I get it.
Yeah, because they'd have like the full length of the bar, and there'd be maybe, there would be a bank of, let's say, 7 or 8 machines, and they only had probably 2 of them open.
Yeah, like 3.
Like, wow. I mean, I'm not joking. Like, super far.
It was weird.
It was really bizarre. So. Needless to say, if you're itching to go to Vegas, I would strongly advise that maybe hang out here and visit us at Best Bet because you're going to have a much better time.
And we have poker.
Yeah, and we have poker, which is way more fun. All right, so speaking of poker, let's talk about the Galfond Challenge a little bit here. So,
okay, I like it.
Phil Galfond, if you don't know who he is a very high-limit poker player. He does these challenges, and I don't know, are they always PLO? Is it always Pot Limit Omaha, or is it just happen to be mostly that this time?
I think it's mostly PLO this time, but if you look at like his schedule of upcoming things,
I think a couple
things,
of them are like no limit hold'em.
There is
a
Luke Swartz. He's going to play 1 in 2008 game.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to play an 8-game mix at 1 in 2000, probably limit, which I don't think is in the wheelhouse of Phil Galfond, oddly enough, because I think he is literally a PLO and heads up PLO specialist,
yeah. So
to the point where this is really interesting about the Chance Cornuth match. Now Chance is a great player. He's a very good hold'em player, and he's a very good PLO player. They're playing 1 in 200, and I assume the 1 in 200 is real money, and the wins and losses at the end are whatever you end up with, right? If you beat a guy out of a couple hundred thousand, that's what you win.
You're talking about Cornuth and Galfond?
Cornuth and Galfond.
They're playing 35,000 hands of 1 in 200.
Right.
So at the end of that, winner, whatever you win or
at the end of the day, whoever wins the most money wins the challenge and however much money you won. It might be, $100. It might be $1 million. But there are side bets.
Correct. I was going to say,
because
that's where the money, right,
because
it's
there's
the side bet.
There's
action.
A good chance that they end fairly even, right? Or within $100,000, which is fairly even,
right,
playing that big. So the side bet on Chance Cornuth.
Galfond puts up $1 million to Cornuth's 250,000.
Yeah.
That whichever one will be ahead at the end.
Right. He gave him 4-1 on a side bet.
That's
strong.
Strong. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that is strong.
Yeah. Against Chance, I think that's really strong. It's a very good negotiating by Chance, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, for sure.
So I thought that the side bet aspect was really interesting. So Chance has the ability to beat Phil Galfond out of $100 after playing 35,000 hands and still win $1 million.
It looks like he gave the same bet to Perkins, right? It looks like the side bet is $1 million to Perkins 250K.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's confidence.
Yes,
there,
that's exactly
also.
What it is.
And Ed Galfond's in the lead right now, plus 90K.
Against Perkins.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
they've only played like 800 hands, though.
You know, against Perkins, mm-hmm. giving him 4-1, that's probably a little bit, depending on how many hands they're going to play, that's probably okay. Against somebody like Chance, I think that's given up a lot, no matter who you are. But sure. Maybe Phil Galfond is just that good that he doesn't care. I'll give anybody 4-1.
What a sicko.
Maybe his pockets are just that deep.
I mean, if I'm Bill Perkins and I know that he's given Chance 4-1 and he's only giving me 4-1, I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah,
serious.
You gotta do better than that.
He's
yeah.
the player. I'm the guy that likes to play, that's a gambler. My money did not come from this. But you know, not that Bill Perkins is a bad player at all, but you know.
Yeah.
He should get a little better odds and Chance.
Well, so here's the thing. So there was a hand that was posted. So there was a big shift in play. Chance has been behind the entire time, has been kind of trailing somewhere around like the 75,000, 125,000, like around there. So not super huge swings for playing 200 PLO.
I think it was stuck 150,000.
That might have been the height of it, but it didn't go. Yeah, it was like, I thought it was 125. So like one, that's still not that much.
Sure.
For 1 in 200, that's not a substantial amount.
A couple sessions, grind it out.
Not a big deal. But there was a big shift, and he's now winning as of this last session. So this last session, he's now up like around 35,000. But there was one hand that created that pivotal swing. And that hand was pretty interesting because the way that the hand comes down, Chance ends up having quad deuces. And I believe he had ace, deuce, deuce, 10 with like the ace, deuce of clubs or something. He turned quad deuces and Galfond rivered sixes full of deuces. So he makes like the second nut full house to Chance's quads. So it ends up, you know, and there's kind of some conversation about, like, can you ever fold there? And here's the thing. I really don't know enough about PLO in depth enough to know, can you ever or do you ever fold a full house? And if so, what is the right time? And is it more about timing or bet sizing in that particular situation? Because, like, the way that the action goes on the end, it's a bet with almost effectively just a min raise. It's like 1.5 raise, like 1.5x raise.
Sure, but
like
it was not that much. It was a pot size bet.
It was. I know, but it's still the raise. When you're raising, the raise is not. It's not like somebody's like betting 15,000. Somebody's like, I'm raising, you know, 150x. They're raising the minimum amount effectively. So with that being said,
right.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, I think you have to call.
Right. But is there a spot where you fold? Ever?
Not for
one bet.
Not for the one bet. No, I don't think you can. Now, it's the third nuts. It really is. Actually,
right. That's kind of what I was thinking.
It is the third nuts.
It's, you know, pocket sevens and pocket eights beat you and pocket deuces.
Right.
So it's fourth nuts, I guess. But as far as full houses, it's the third.
It's the third nut full house.
So you have to call that bet. I mean, you have to know that he has a full house because he's not going to bluff you for that one bet, right? It's not enough on the end. It goes, I don't think it's enough. Yeah, he bet 15,000.
But, I mean, if he makes a pot-sized bet in that situation, it appears as if, like, I feel like in that spot you either have it or you just have absolute air, right? Like, there's no in between. Like, you're not making that raise or doing anything in that spot as chance, as the guy with quad deuces. The only thing you can have there is the nuts or absolutely nothing, right? Can you have anything in between? Like,
he can
what
make some
would
other...
you ever have that you would raise with, I guess,
right.
is what
I'm
asking.
He going to raise with a deuce seven or
right.
deuce
That's what I was
going to
say. He could have some other full houses.
That he would raise with, though? Do you feel like that? I guess that's my question. So my question is like,
but you
what,
know, he
like,
he.
If,
they
what
say he
you
went all.
There?
They say he went all in, but I'm looking at it right now, and all he did is min raise.
Yeah, he just min raised.
He didn't go all in.
No, he min raised.
He still had 55,000 behind. He just min raised.
Yeah.
I think with a min raise there, you have to call with sixes full.
100%, and that's why he did it.
Yeah,
obviously.
I think you have to call. I think if he'd have stuffed it all in, maybe you think, oh, man.
Do you, but do you fold any other full houses, like any smaller full houses, right? Like, is that the line?
Yeah, I think
is that
could,
the marginal line for calling?
I think
six
you could
full.
Fold one of the deuce full houses.
Yeah,
the deuce seven, deuce eight, deuce six.
So if you had any deuce full combo, you could fold.
You have to think if you have any of the deuces full combos, you're just bluff catching.
Right.
Because you can't beat a hand because
Well, and didn't Phil have like one of the blockers of the other full houses? Like, didn't he have like an eight or something? And you could have made like eights or sevens full, and didn't he have like six?
I think he
eight,
did
something.
Actually. Get to it here again.
So like, and I guess
so,
like when you
no,
think about
he,
it,
he, no, he did not. So he, I unfortunately. I can't see what the pre-flop, flop, and turn
action
is. And there's 62,000 in the pot. It would be nice to kind of know what happened.
Right, but if you – so, but we don't have the information. So I guess my question is, do you ever – like, okay, so no. – If he has any of the blockers against somebody else having a larger full house and he doesn't have a deuce in his hand, is it a spot where you say you can find a fold because you know what I mean? Or no, does it not work that way?
I
as
mean,
much in terms of
based on the bet sizing that they put in, I think it'd be hard to fold just about anything, but based on the amount of money that they had, but you know, they started the hand and Phil, the flop is 7-8 deuce with the 8 deuce of hearts, and Phil has the 9-6 for an open and straight draw, and it's the 9-6 of hearts. So it's 9-6 for an open and straight draw and a flush draw, and Chance flops bottom set, and obviously picks up the dream card, the deuce, on the turn, probably checked it, and then let Galfond lead into it on the river
when he picks up
unfortunately
six
for him, catches the 6 of hearts. I mean, the 6 of diamonds to make 6s full. It's a weird hand. But I don't think you can, based on the bet sizing that they have, I don't think you can fold really anything. Now, had they had tons of money and they're deep and you bet with 6s full there and get raised big, you really have to consider that 6s full even is probably bluff catching because a guy with a deuce full house doesn't really need to raise there and put himself at risk. He can just call.
Right. Yeah, that's a good
point. Yeah, that's a good point.
So, ironically, Chance is stuck more than anybody else in the Galfond Challenge.
Oh, is he stuck?
Yeah, he's stuck more than anyone else. He's stuck 280 euros.
I thought he came back.
I mean, this could be old what I'm seeing here, but this says he's stuck right here.
Yeah, I think he was stuck, and now he's.
Yeah, I think he just.
Caught,
I think he had a swing that he's. I think he's plus 33,000 or something now. Because he was down as much as 280, but then he's now profit after 12 sessions up 33,000 overall. But that was it. But it's interesting because that one hand, that was that pot.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That hand that we're talking about was literally that pot, which is why, you know what I mean? Not only was it pivotal in terms of like the actual story, but it is kind of an interesting hand.
Oh, okay.
And they're
I
like, nobody can ever fold. And I'm thinking, I mean, I don't. Yeah, I don't know that you can, but
yeah,
could you fold a deuce full house? Like, I mean, yeah. I
maybe
suppose,
a deuce full house, yeah. You know what else is interesting about this is I don't know how much they buy in for.
I was going to ask that, too.
And
like, if they go broke, can they rebuy?
if they rebuy or do they each buy in again for another buy-in.
I am certain all of those terms are written out.
Yeah,
but I don't know what they are, but I'm certain that they're all written out.
Somebody in the chat's got to know, right?
Semajax definitely knows. We'll put it on him when we take a break.
Speaking of that, he did say that the odds of a 20-to-1 parlay somewhere, it's not necessarily true odds, but it was about 413,000-to-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's crazy. All right, we need to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to continue talking more Parcos. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin and Country in the studio tonight. All right, so we got to have a little conversation about being able to bet on the election. We kind of talked about this last week. It was either last week or the week before.
Yep.
And I feel like as the election keeps getting closer and closer, this keeps coming up. Now, first of all, it is not legal to bet on the election in this country. But that doesn't mean that people can't bet on the election, right? Like, you can bet on the election outside of the United States. And I am certain there are other people, you know, that can make wagers or whatnot that are not in legal sports books. What is interesting is the money and where the money is predominantly bet. So, and Dustin, help me make sure I remember this right. So Sarah Herring, who works for Poker News, did a little... like a little quick blurb that talked about the betting lines and where they were in terms of Biden versus Trump.
Right.
And the money, which I thought was interesting, is there is more money bet on Biden, but more people voted for Trump, right?
And that's really interesting.
I would have thought it would have been the other way around.
Same.
Because I feel, and here's why. This is going to sound really silly, but like in terms of an actual party line political thought process, you would think that you would have fewer votes with higher dollar amounts or like, you know what I mean, on like a Republican side and smaller denominations with more votes on a Democratic side just based on party lines, the way things work, right?
Yeah, that might be. But you know
so
what I think?
That's what I would have thought it would look like.
Really interesting about those numbers. Now, if you take a football game, and you take the you know, the Jags against whoever they're going to lose to this week.
Ouch! Shots
wow,
fired.
Jeez! Yeah.
Shots fired.
And,
hey, this is a Jaguar radio station.
Well, I'm
get
bitter.
This guy out of here.
I'm bitter. I want them to win. Don't get me wrong. I want them to win. I want them to be winners. I'm just a little bitter that they're not doing so well.
Doug Marone's behind you, by the way. Yeah. He's got
Doug. What's going on? So if you take the Jags against the Patriots and you look at the bets, there might be more bets on the Jags and way more money bet on the Patriots, which would make the Patriots a favorite, right? Mm-hmm. And typically what that means is the smart money, the big money and the smart money is on the Patriots. But this is people betting on a sport where they have no ability to do anything to change the outcome, right? You don't know what's going to happen in the game, and you have no way to influence. But as a voter, you would think the more people that vote, that bet on one side, means the more votes that person is going to get,
right,
which
right.
means they have a better chance of winning,
right,
even though the big money or the money is on the other side.
Yeah, so the line is shifted more
really
on number
right?
of bets versus money, effectively, right? I mean, that's kind of basically what you're saying right there.
Right, because the odds are depicted on the amount of money, not the amount of bets. It's the amount of money on each side.
Right.
Changes the odds to go up or down.
Well, Biden
but in this case, since everybody who's betting is also voting, you would have to take Trump. and get plus money.
I was going to say Biden was minus 220 and Trump, what was Trump, plus one something?
Trump was plus 220 and Biden's like minus.
It was plus 225 and minus 210.
Minus 210.
Oh, is that it? Plus 225 minus
210.
210.
Yep.
210. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was right.
But you would have to, if the underdog, regardless of who it is, if the underdog has more people betting on him, it wouldn't really matter how much money is being wagered if every single person bet and every single person voted. You would have to take, you would want your money on the person with the most bets, not the most amount of money.
Sure.
It's interesting, right? Because like
weird, huh?
Well, it is weird. So you could skew a line then, theoretically. If you had a large like group of people, you could move a line just by having them bet smaller amounts and placing lots of wagers, right? Like effectively. Like let's say you're one person and you're like, I'm going to go into the sports book. I want to move the line. I'm like using this as an extreme example, right? I want the line to move, so I'm going to go into the sports book and I'm going to place 7,000 bets all at $1 a piece. Instead of making one $7,000 bet, you make 7,000 bets at $1. That probably is going to move the line versus if you just bet $7,000 in one bet, right? That's like what you're saying?
No, not on a typical sporting event, no. It'll be the exact same.
It'll be the same.
It's okay. $7,000 wagered. So the sports book, right, they typically take $10. So you bet $110 to win $100. That's how the sports book wins. So you bet $110 to win $100 on the Patriots. Right. I bet on the Jags at $110. Mm-hmm. One of us wins, one of us loses. The sports book makes $5.
Right.
Pretty simple. That's it. They get 5 cents on every dollar on every straight bet like that. But they want everything to be equal on the money. They don't care how many bets come in. It doesn't make any difference how many people bet on each side. If long as the money is close to even, they want to get equal weight on each side. That way they have no exposure and they pick up 5 cents on every dollar.
So in this particular situation, it's opposite because it seems as if, right, that's what you're saying basically, because there's more money that's on Biden. So it looks as if he should be the favorite because that's where the money is.
Right. But if there's more bets on Trump, is Biden really the favorite?
Because, I guess that's what I was asking.
We are
right?
the people that make
question.
The difference, right? They don't have a say in what happens. I mean, basically.
Right. That's why I was asking the question. Can you move the line simply by making a whole lot of smaller bets versus
making one large bet?
Like, typically, does that change anything? I don't know the answer.
The answer would be no, but I don't know how, if they're even taking that into consideration at the sports books in Europe and England, or if they really care.
Right. I mean,
they probably don't. They don't care whatsoever. Because they base that money line off of money coming in. So Biden has to be a little bit of a favorite because they got more money on Biden. So it doesn't matter to them who wins or who's the true favorite. It doesn't make any difference.
It is. I will say that I think that it's interesting that like every other country in the world, and there are so many people that are betting so much money on the outcome of our election. Like, how many times do we hear stories about somebody going into the sports book in Vegas or somewhere else and they like bet on the outcome of the election in France? Like, that's just not a thing, right? Like, I don't even know that exists.
They're having a field day.
Like,
they're having a blast.
I mean, but do we do that? Like, do we actually do that? Don't we have enough stuff that we bet on? I just think I've never heard of that. So it's just, I don't know. It's funny to me.
To be fair, I don't know what goes on in other countries' sports books, though. Who knows?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Is this just like a one-time thing, or is this normal? Does that happen all the time?
And Guns has a good point. The closer we get to the election, those odds are going to change. They've already shifted since last week when we briefly touched on it.
Drastically. Mm-hmm. And just as a point of reference, the Sarah Herring thing on Poker News, it's only like 6 minutes long. You can find it in Poker News. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
She breaks it down and a few other things. It's a quick listen. But one thing about last term election 4 years ago, Trump was a big underdog going into the night of the election. I think you had to lay 400 to win 100 on Hillary, and Trump was about plus about 700 or 800. I don't know what the math.
Oh, that's right.
What the math truly
he
is?
He was
there.
Plus 700 or 800.
Yeah, it was weird. I remember
on the day of.
Yeah.
Day of.
I had forgotten about that.
As things were coming in, it in about a 45-minute to an hour time, it shifted from Trump being plus like 700 to being minus 1,000.
Which was insane. No way. To see a line that moves that much and that drastic.
1,700 points?
1,700 points, right.
It's totally insane, yeah.
Wow.
So now it'll be interesting, like, as we watch this, right? We know it's going to change and shift as we get closer, and when we'll see as the money moves. But it'll be interesting to see, having watched the trend from the last election, if that will happen this time, or, like, you know, or do the sports books go, wow, it was too volatile last time, so we're going to keep it a little bit more even keeled so they don't have to deal with that, the volatility.
But again, did they care? They probably made money either way.
I can't even imagine what the sports books were going through when that was going on. That had to be completely insane. Absolutely insane.
Pulling their hair out for a minute and then.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
The one really good point that Sarah Herring made in her little piece was, you know, when you're betting on something like this, as a gambler who bets on sports, you're not supposed to bet with your heart.
Sure. Right.
Right. You don't bet on the team that you want to win. Mm-hmm. You bet on the team that you think is going to win.
Right.
So in
you save that for the lottery where you bet, like, you know, your birthdays and stuff like that.
Sure, exactly. So in a like a political election, if you want one or the other guys to win, that's not the reason to bet on them. You're supposed to bet on the guy you think is actually going to win.
Right. Well, that would make sense. All right, we need to take a quick break. But before we do that, guess what I got? A 1010XL main event seat to give away. We're going to do it right now. 641-1010 is the phone number. 641-1010. We will take the fifth caller right now. You'll get $110 entry into the 1010XL main event, which will be next Wednesday, 6 o'clock p.m. at 201 Monument Road. That is the Best Bet Jacksonville location. 641-1010. Again, we'll take the fifth caller right now. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk all things promotions and put a wrap on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin and Country wrapping up the program. All right, guys, there is so much stuff going on in the poker room. While it might seem like there's not a lot of stuff to do outside or anywhere else, or unless you're outside, this is a great place if you want to be inside where you have something to do, right? So the poker room is very safe at this time. You guys are using face masks. You guys are making sure that there's plenty of hand sanitization going on between your staff as well as your guests. You guys have done a really good job about keeping people safe and socially distanced, and you have plenty of space at your locations to accommodate all of those needs. And with that means that people are showing up and they're having a good time and they're being safe. And that means lots of promotions because people want money. So tonight,
show me the money.
Starting in exactly 6 minutes from now, it is a $2,000 high hand going out every hour between 7 and midnight. So between $2,000 high hand, spin the wheel, and that is in Jacksonville in Orange
it's
Park.
It's a spin the wheel. It's not spin a $2,000 high hand, right?
It's an $800 high hand, and then you can take the choice to either spin the wheel and potentially win up to $2,000.
And let me tell you guys right here, I know most people are taking the $800. Spin the wheel, people.
Spin the wheel.
We had a conversation with a statistics major to tell you that you are supposed to spin the wheel.
It's plus $200 EV.
To spin.
Expected value.
Yeah,
to spin
you're literally
the wheel.
Costing yourself money by just taking the $800.
It probably doesn't
feel like it, but you're costing yourself money by taking the $800.
Do you think it's because the first person that did it said that they were going to spin, and then they spun and landed on 200?
And I don't know if anybody else spun the last. I didn't look at the chart, but spin the wheel.
Gamble up. It's good.
Win 2,000.
Don't forget, that starts tonight from 7 to midnight. That's good at both Jacksonville or the Orange Park location. There is a live stream tonight also at 7 o'clock p.m. So, Dustin, real quick, what's that look like?
Playing 2-5, no limit hold'em, deep stack cash, 200 men, $1,500 max. Going to be a juicy one.
And there's going to be lots of giveaways, so you can watch that stream on Facebook. You can watch it on Twitch. Just plug in Best Bet Live. You can also follow and watch on YouTube if you'd like. And then, of course, there is the the first large tournament this weekend, $1,500 no limit hold'em tournament. It is a single day event. So it will be Saturday.
The final table comes back Sunday.
Final table comes back, but it's you play down to the final table. Correct. You break exactly at that time, and then you'll come back and you'll play out on the live stream on Sunday. So that tournament does start at noon. There's a couple opportunities to get in inexpensively through satellites. You can check the website for more details about that. Just go to bestbetjacks.com. That's where you're going to find all of that information. That's going to do it for us tonight, but don't go anywhere. End of the Night with Rick Ballew is coming up for Jesse the Boss, Dustin, and Country in the Booth. I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.